2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. This is the reading of God's Word. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end, just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless your people. Grant us an ear to hear your word, your loving voice through your word, telling us the beautiful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we want to know more you, our God, and we want to love you more. You have promised in your word that as we hear your word, our faith will grow. Oh Father, as we hear your word, cause our faith to grow so that we may, with that growing faith, witness your Son, Jesus Christ, and love him and be like him more and more. Oh Father, we pray that you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our journey through the 2 Corinthians. We are at verse 12 today. Verse 12 says, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you." Our proud confidence, it says. Or NIV, different translation, our boast. Now, before we see what Paul is saying in this verse, let us remind ourselves that the Corinthians church was a church with so many problems. If you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's not that hard to figure out that this church had many, many problems. And one of them was this boasting. Worldly boasting. Boasting in fleshly wisdom. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world," all that is in the world. So whatever that is coming behind this phrase will be all that is in the world. And he lists three things, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So you could say about a lot of things, but Bible summarized everything in the world as these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. This is why people live. This is their purpose and reason for living. Everything they do is according to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. This is why they live. And it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. people want to, you know, go to some good college, have a good business or good jobs. And nothing wrong with having those things. I'm not saying that's wrong. But the worldly people want those things so that they could boast. That's their real purpose. Now, the true Christianity is without worldly or fleshly boasting. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Brothers and sisters, God did not choose you because you were good or God needed you. Actually, God chooses foolish things of the world, the weak things, things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. You know, all these worldly people who boast about their wisdom and their power and their abilities, when Jesus comes back, they will know that all their boasting was in vain. Now, worldly people boasting, that's just how it is. But when Christians boast, now this is really, really ridiculous. First, if you're a Christian, remember this verse. It humbles us. And when we really think about how we are and what we are indeed nothing. And yet, God would choose us to glorify himself, to show to the whole world his abilities, his power. Now, see, that's why the gospel, it's not something that the world likes. Because they like telling them, you know, people telling them how good they are. And God, you know, needs you. Without you, you know, even God cannot do anything. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Even our salvation is never about how good we are or good works that we have done. The Bible completely denies that. Only thing that we truly deserve based upon what we have done is eternal punishment of hell. And yet God still loved us and saved us by grace through faith. See, we are saved because we believed, but even that believing, that faith, is a gift from God. Not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. In Romans chapter 3, verse 27a, where then is boasting? Paul asks, and he answers, it is excluded. All is by grace of God. We all deserve the eternal judgment of God, but God still blesses us. That is what grace is. We never did anything to deserve any blessings from God. All we did was sin. Sin. What is it? Disobeying God, and even in obeying, not obeying perfectly, that is also sin. Even as we gather here to worship God, are we worshiping God perfectly? And it's okay? Long as we're here and we do some of these things and worship, so we're okay? Or even as we worship, we're sinning. This is how we are. It's just, what's the word? The blob of sin. And this is what Christians confess. We know how we are because the Holy Spirit tells us through the Bible how we are. Nothing to boast about. And yet, God pours out His grace upon us, to His people. Only because of Jesus Christ, only because of what He has done for us and what He has accomplished for us. Our salvation is by His grace and His grace alone. Not because of our good works. No one is righteous, not even one, God says. No one does good, not even one, God says. And yet, you and I, we are the witnesses of God's grace. We're saved. We are God's people. We have eternal salvation. And how do we explain this? We didn't do anything good. We ourselves confess that all we did is sin. And yet we also confess we do have eternal salvation. Do you see it? We are witnessing His grace, even as we live. Just you exist as a Christian. We witness His grace. Sinner like me is saved. Now I am a son of God. Do you see the grace of God? But the Corinthian church was full of this fleshly boasting. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Oh, yeah. You went to good college because you were smart. You're rich because you are so able. I always say this. God could have caused you to, I don't want to degrade the people who live in jungle, but, you know, God could cause you to born in the jungle out of nowhere and just, He could have done that. What good college? Don't you know that even you being here in this country at this time, God has something to do with that?
Or is it all because you are so great? Yeah, I make so much money because I'm just able person. Who caused you to have that education that you received? Who caused you to born in that family you were raised? Don't you think God has something to deal with, something to do with your life? Or he's just completely just out of it. What do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? God is asking you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? There the context is that there was this terrible sinner in that church, but they did not kick him out. No excommunication for him. And they were actually boasting about that. How love we have. See, we don't even excommunicate that terrible sinner because we're full of love. Even though God commands us to excommunicate it, but see, we have more love than God. They were boasting. And that's what happens these days, you know, when you excommunicate somebody. Oh, that church has no love. Even though that is what God commands us. People have more love than God. Boasting. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet, you do not know that your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Yeah. You know, God is not saying don't make any plans for tomorrow. It's okay to prepare for tomorrow and, you know, plan. But even as you do, understand it's all by God's grace. What if you die today? You're going to say, yeah, I have this plan. You know, tomorrow I go this and I go there and I do this and I do that. As if you are in control of your life. And that's what the world teaches. You know, it's actually commendable to be in control of your life. But that's the arrogance this sinful world has. We do not live by our own abilities and power. So even in our speech, we need to witness our humbleness in Jesus Christ. Yes, we dare not even give a little hint as if we are in control.
If Lord wills, I will see you next Lord's Day. If He doesn't, there's nothing we could do to change that. This attitude is not welcomed by the world. I mean, how stupid you are. What is that? God is in control. They will laugh at you. But this is what we believe. And we believe in Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God who is in complete control. Everything happens according to His will. Sometimes, you know, we might complain, why is this happening? I don't know what is the reason why these things are happening. But we trust that He loves us. And whatever that happens at that time is the best for us. In His unsearchable wisdom, that is the best. That's why that happens to us, that He loves His people whom He even died for. Why would He not cause all these things to work out for the good of His people who He loves? But in our limited wisdom, many, many times we don't know, why is this good for me? But we trust Him. And Paul knows this truth, that all is by God's grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says, "But by grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Then question is, why does Paul say in our verse that he is boasting about something? He says, our proud confidence is this. That's how he begins the sentence. My boast is this. And Paul knows that boasting is excluded, and yet, why does he begin like this? Well, Paul is deliberately doing this to teach the Corinthian church what is the true boasting, or the Christian boasting. Not every boasting is evil. There is proper Christian boasting. We boast that we do everything by the grace of God. We boast that whatever we do is because God blessed us. It is His grace. That's what we boast. We boast that we do everything by the grace of God. Our boasting, then, is Jesus Christ. We boast in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:31b, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We find the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. We boast our Lord Jesus Christ, and we boast that we do everything by His grace. Now, what is Paul boasting about? He says, this is our confident boasting, and he says that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially to you, toward you. He's boasting that whatever that he did in holiness and godly sincerity. Now NIV has it, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. So the holiness and sincerity are also from God. And Paul is boasting that I have done everything in holiness and godly sincerity that are from God. Now in our verse, there are two things that are being contrasted. Fleshly wisdom or the grace of God. It says, I conducted everything in holiness and godly sincerity, and he goes, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God. So these two things are being contrasted. Fleshly wisdom and the grace of God. Fleshly wisdom. What is that? You see, if it is not by the grace of God, then it is by the fleshly wisdom or the worldly wisdom, the wisdom of man. I mean, think about it. If it is not by grace of God, then by what? By wisdom of man. Isn't that obvious? It's not by God, then it is by man. And these two things are being contrasted here. Wisdom of man. This is what the world is all about. The spirit of 666. Man-centered and this world-centered. But the Christianity is always God-centered and heaven-centered. 666. Bible says it is the number of the beast. Number of man, Bible says. Six. And that number six is repeated many times. And it really didn't matter if it's 666 or it's 666666. It doesn't matter. It means the same thing. The day that the man was created was on the sixth day. The spirit of 666 does not want the number seven. Does not want the heavenly rest. On the seventh day, the rest comes. And that rest was pointing to heavenly rest. They don't like that seven. They want to stay with six. Because it's all about this world. And it's all about man. That's what the spirit of 666 is. Man-centered and this world-centered. They don't care about God, and they don't care about heaven. It's all about here and now. It's all about man. They love this world, and they live according to the wisdom of this world. The three things that we already have seen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life. And brothers and sisters, God's power is never seen through the wisdom of the flesh, the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of man. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So understand the word of the cross, the message that we preach is the foolishness to the world. When they hear the true gospel, they're going to say, what? What is this? Foolishness. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Did you hear that?
God's way of saving people is through the foolishness of what is being preached.
And yet, so many pastors and churches, now they want to use the wisdom of man so that what they're preaching will no longer be foolishness to the world, but the message will be something that the even world wants to hear.
And this is what is happening. They're being sick of being treated as foolishness.
They want to be considered by the world as, whoa, they have something that is awesome. We want it too.
For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom.
Jews, representing religious people, they want signs. So all this, speaking in tongue and falling and, being healed of sickness, they want signs.
And the Greeks, the scientists, the worldly people, they search for wisdom.
So they go for science.
But, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block. People who want signs. The cross is stumbling block, because what does cross say?
It says death. It says suffering.
But people who are into signs, they want to be well in this world. So it becomes stumbling block. And to Gentiles, people who want wisdom, people who like science, it becomes foolishness.
Nothing has changed, brothers and sisters. This was written 2,000 years ago.
We preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
That's why Paul says in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
People like me needs to really hear this.
When Paul preached, it was not in persuasive words of wisdom.
It wasn't beautiful language, if you will. Sounds so intelligent and deep.
No.
Do you understand our religion? What is true Christianity? It's not about getting that respect from the world. It's not about even world telling us how intelligent we are or how awesome our messages are. It's about preaching Jesus Christ. And the world will always reject it. They will always reject it. And our job is not to make it so beautiful and so respectable to the world. We preach the cross, the stumbling block, and a foolishness to the world.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, therefore, I am well content, or I take pleasure in the weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you understand this. You understand what our religion is all about. We preach Christ. And you know and I know how valuable Jesus Christ is, how worthy He is. And we preach Him. Verse 13, for we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand. We write straightforward, and there is nothing you cannot understand in everything we write. Complete opposite of those false teachers, we write false teachers, because they write according to the wisdom of flesh. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not like many peddling. They do it for the money, like selling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God. We speak in Christ in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adultering the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principle of the world, rather than according to Christ. Yes, for some, if a sermon is so difficult, then it must be a good sermon, because I don't understand. It must be good. No. If you don't understand, and if you're a believer and you don't understand, then I fail. Well, let's go to the last verse. This is what I really want to preach on. Verse 13b through verse 14. And I hope you will understand until the end, just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud as you also are ours. Or in other translation, you will be our boast and we will be your boast in the day of our Lord Jesus. There is one thing that Paul wants all of us to know. That we are your reason to be proud as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. Do you remember how Paul taught us to pray for one another in verse 11? We are to pray for the sanctification of other people. God uses my prayers for you in making you more and more like Jesus Christ. And God uses your prayers for me in making me more and more like Jesus Christ our Lord. In my sanctification, I need your prayers for me. And this is God's design. Now, if we live like this, then on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He returns, on the day when all the realities of heaven will be visibly consummated, you will be my boasting and I will be your boasting. This is our heavenly reality that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ.
This is how it is going to be forever. In heaven, you will be my boasting and I will be yours. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you? In the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming, for you are our glory and joy. When the heaven will be visible, when you and I will appear in glory, you and I will be Jesus' boasting. We will be his glory. Through you and through me, all of his power and wisdom and glory will be witnessed perfectly and completely. Brothers and sisters, on that day, when you see me on that day, you cannot deny the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot deny what he has done and what he has accomplished. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be glorious. And you cannot deny the power of our Lord Jesus Christ as you see me on that day. Which power, which wisdom can make me, a sinner who deserves to go to hell forever, a perfect, holy Son of God? Only Jesus Christ. I mean, if you know me personally, you know that I would never be perfect on my own abilities. Not even close. But you will see me perfect in that day, and you're going to say, wait a minute, what happened? And you have to realize that it is Jesus Christ. I'm going to be his trophy. He's going to point to me and say, look, look. And that's all it takes. As you look at me on that day, you have to acknowledge everything that the Bible says about Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says about how you're going to be at that, on that day. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25b through 27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, you, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, and that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Partakers of the divine nature. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2 and verse 9 through 11. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, you, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke to me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride. You, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. You, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Yes, we will be just like our Lord Jesus Christ. No, we will not be gods, but in his humanity, we will be just like him. We participate in God's work in making us just like our Lord Jesus Christ by praying for one another. On that day, Jesus will be so proud of you. He will be so proud of me. He will be so proud of his people, his work. He will be so happy as he sees us, his sons, his finished work. Glorious and just like himself. For this joy, Jesus even endured the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And when we stand next to our Lord Jesus Christ on that day, Revelation 14, 1, then I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. All of us will stand next to him, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. On that day, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be all our joy, all our boast, and all our glory. And you will be my joy, my boast, and my glory, just as I will be your joy, your boast, and your glory. Man, everybody will be so proud of everyone. We long for that day. When all this will be visibly consummated. But remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is our present spiritual heavenly reality that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 verse 1, in addressing his brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. You are already my joy and my boasting, even as I am already your joy and your boasting in Jesus Christ. Yes, if somebody points at you and say, look at that person. What is that? You know, he or she is so, you know, stupid and dumb and whatever they will say to me. I will say, no. that person will be just like Jesus. And God is working in that person. Even now He's working in that person to make him just like Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of that person. He or she is my joy and my boasting. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, what God's will for us, how we must live? Let us live our lives in a such way that this reality will be clearly witnessed. Brothers and sisters, I'm your boasting, as you are my boasting. This is our eternal reality that Jesus has already accomplished for us. Brothers and sisters, let us witness this. Let us show to the whole world what has already accomplished in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you Oh, Father, it is truly amazing grace. How sinners like us are now your joy, your boasting in Jesus Christ. And how sinners like us, we are each other's boasting and joy. This is what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Oh, Father, let us rejoice and be diligent in witnessing what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us show to the whole world how we are and who we are in Jesus Christ. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.